Revelations of Heaven and Hell, Part 2. And I am reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible said, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And here we are in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 and 9. It said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. We looked at Revelation, the revelations of heaven and hell, part one, and it was awesome. We had several responses from across the country and even outside Nigeria. I will read some to you just quickly. This is from a person by name Precious. He said, though I have not been coming to church for a while now because of this particular thing of revelations, but I will look for today's message. Think it's going to help me a lot because I've already started falling, not knowing which to believe any longer, but still knows you are called by God. And my only prayer still remains the grace to make heaven. Another person by the name Favor, he said, Pastor Daddy, I am very happy for this message. The devil has really misled many. Thank God for today's message. It has exposed the real truth. He said, you are really called by God. More of his grace. Another one by the name, a person by name Jeremiah. He said, as rugged as always, sir, thank God for addressing fake revelations. God bless you, sir. Another one from the YouTube. This one, he said, may the Lord bless you. You may not know what the Lord has used you to do just now through this message, sir. He said, you are a man of God. Every single word you said are so scriptural, and it has healed the earth of an epidemic the devil just started. The devil is a failed liar. Forever he will fail. He said, it's a pity I didn't know you while I was in Nigeria. He's talking from abroad. Your ministry, your message, and so on is nothing but heaven itself. Now, this one is from Benedicta. Many thanks again for the counsels. I have been watching these videos thinking it will help me. Those demonic videos. Spiritually, but he said, but rather I was sinking in bitterness. But with this message today, I am revived. The other one said, this is timely and revealing. How I wish the entire Nigerians will watch this video and not all this political wrangling, craving for power and fame, forgetting that the end is nearer than we can imagine. God bless you, sir. Another one said, it was much needed. The Bible should always be our standard. Another one said, thank you, Pastor, for this timely revelational clearance of all kinds of false revelations and indoctrinations flying about, destroying the weak in the knowledge of God. God bless you and deliver our generation from demonic invasion through false prophets of devolutions. This person's name is Rejoice Mary. She said, this is good because so much confusion is going on. Different doctrines leading people to hell. Another one said, speak on. Let the world be aware because of a lot of confusion is fuming. Another one said, thank God for using you to clarify all this false revelation that is going on now. I was indeed confused until last week, Tuesday. And so on. The comments are so many. And so on and so forth. And we give the Lord the praise in the precious name of Jesus Christ. While I speak on part two of this message this moment, many of you may not be aware, and thank God you were not aware, that there were several people that came up suddenly and said they had so and so revelation of heaven, of hell, of this and that, and some of them are genuine, but many came out that came with so much distortion of the Bible. And I want to clear some things very quickly. The first thing I want to say today is that the message we preached last Tuesday and the one we are preaching now is not an attack on persons, but of principles. It's not an attack on persons, but on principles. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, and in verse 2, Titus chapter 3 and in verse 2, he said that we should speak evil of no man. So we are not going to stand here preaching and speaking evil of any man, because the Bible said so. He said to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. The Bible also said in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 that we should not repay evil for evil. We should not repay evil for evil. So we are not against persons, but against principles. And every principle that is not of God shall be aggressively resisted. Second thing I want you to know is that it is not a personal effort, but a generational battle. A generational battle, a generation at the brink of confusion and disillusionment. Jude verse 3 said we should contend for the faith. We should battle to ensure that the message of the gospel is not distorted at any point. So it is not a personal effort, but a generational battle. Thirdly, I want to say, somebody called me and said, and that person may be here today, sent a text. And I replied the text and spoke to the person. The person said, can God not use anybody? Even God spoke through a donkey. Then I said, yes, God did not speak through a donkey. God made the donkey to speak for itself. God was not living in the donkey. He only made the donkey's mouth to speak. It's a miracle of making the donkey speak. In case you doubt that, it is in Numbers chapter 22 and in verse 27. Numbers chapter 22 and in verse 27. Here is what the Bible said. It said, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and the ass spake. Not God speaking, the ass said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that you have smitten me these three times? God opened the mouth of the donkey to speak. And in case anybody say God can speak through a donkey, not a dead donkey. The Bible calls him the living God. He is connected, associated, and related with the living. According to Psalm 42 and in verse 2. When he spoke to Moses from the bush, it was not dry bush. The next thing I want to say is that the same question, can God not choose anybody? Hear this. God will not commit generational revelation to novices. Generational revelation. When we say novice, we are talking about newcomers. It won't take a new convert to instruct a generation. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6, concerning the leadership in the church, it said, not a novice, in case he falls into temptation. It will not take a novice. When Paul the apostle gave his life to Christ, in Galatians chapter 1 verse 15 to 18, please note down the references because we don't have the time. He said, after he gave his life to Christ, Galatians 1 15 to 18, he said he went to Jerusalem only after 3 years to see Peter. When he came back in Galatians chapter 2 verse 1 and 2, the Bible said he returned back to Jerusalem only after 14 years later. Before Paul could begin to bring revelations to the church, it was literally close to 20 years in the Lord. The book of Philippians, for example, was written when Paul was 33 years in the Lord. So we cannot say somebody gave his life to Christ 3 months ago and God is sending that person to Pastor Adeboye. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It has not happened in scripture, will never happen. What else are we here to say? Somebody said,
but the content of the messages were not bad. It's that heaven is real and hell is real. That is some content of the message. But I can tell you, beloved brothers and sisters, that demonic revelation can be clothed in a garment of outward righteousness.
Demonic revelations. And I can show that to you. The Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 15. It said, beware of false prophets who come to you in the garment of a sheep. He said, but the wolves in sheep's clothing. They are wolves on the inside, but they are sheep. They look sheepish on the outside. You look at them physically, they look innocent. But inside, what is coming out, there is poison inside. Am I communicating? So the problem with the message is not because of the content, but because of the source. I like to say that again. A religious sounding message can originate from the pit of hell. And I am about to give you a scripture. Everything can look okay outside, okay in voice, but it can originate from the pit of hell. Hear this. A message can be 100% right in content and 100% wrong in origin. That is, the content does not look wrong, but the origin could be evil. I give you an example. Now, everybody open your Bible to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and in verse 16. Thank God that this journey is going to take us a bit far. Because there is such a deception in our generation. If somebody says, you should do like this and do like that, what is the real thing that is wrong with it? We shall see it soon. Acts chapter 16 verse 16. Open your Bibles to it. Everybody. Every single body. Acts chapter 16 verse 16. Are you there? We are going to read to verse 18. One to go. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, will show us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I have three questions to ask. These men are the servants of the Most High God. They show us the way of salvation. Anything wrong with that statement? These are the servants of the Most High God. They come to show us the way of salvation. Is that statement a lie? Question number three. These are the servants of the Most High God. They are coming to show us the way of salvation. Is it God speaking? Content correct. Source wrong. That is why they call the devil the deceiver. He knows how to package deception. He will not throw it at you and call it deception. Take your seat. The question I want to ask now is, if the statement is correct and nothing is wrong with what the devil is saying, then what was the aim of him saying it? That is where the matter lies. Paul is talking, the devil is talking. The problem of the revelation is not the content, but the consequence. It is not whether it's
is a pastor, a true prophet or false prophet, we judge the revelation by the consequence it produced. Because the Bible said, by their fruits, you shall know them. Luke chapter 6 verse 44. The consequence. What was the devil doing? If Paul is speaking and the devil is speaking, it is the aim was to drown the voice of Paul. The aim was to break the focus of the people. The aim was to introduce confusion in the atmosphere. The aim was to drown the impact of the genuine. So every time God is speaking and some people come up and begin to speak as if they are speaking for God, and people are wondering, but what is wrong with what is being shared? Look at the consequences. Is God speaking to somebody here? And I don't blame many people in our generation. Because as spiritual as Paul was, it took him many days to recognize that this is not of God. The Bible said this she continued not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days. This she continued many days. Then all of a sudden Paul said, wait. What is going on here? This is not God talking. Why did I miss it? And he faced that devil. And he said, behind this good voice is a bad personality. Get out of her. And the unclean spirit came out the same day. So it is very easy for a pastor and a congregation to be deceived by what looks like a good content, but where the spirit of discernment is not utilized on time, deception continues. That is what has happened to our generation. One of the greatest helps God has given me is very quick discernment. I mean, my wife is aware of that. Very, very quick. If I step into an atmosphere, it doesn't matter how. One man of God that I was about to rush for him. A man that I can say he carried an A.A. Allen's mantle. I mean, he wrote a book on revival that I read. It touched me. One night as I was thinking of pursuing this man, for all of a sudden I saw a revelation in the night. Mighty serpent standing by his side. His same height, the same size. And I said, and then he was talking, and it's like, this guy is his friend. And he was telling me, I said, okay. I woke up in the morning, we were planning to invite him here. I woke up in the morning, I told my wife, I said, this is what I saw in the night. He said, God loves you. He doesn't want you to miss road at all. Am I communicating? Not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything inside water is fish. Some have all manner of things. You will never be deceived another time. That amen is not a good one. If you are saying amen, shout a louder amen. Don't be confused, because there are people who can start well. And when it looks like things are not working very well, they look for extra power. That's the kind of situation that may be. There are people that may start very genuinely, authentically. But when they look like, oh, am I dragging behind? Then something, a spirit of divination, something, they just struggle to make it by force. And then go to look for an extra source. And God says, look at that. You know this one, but what of the one standing behind him? Do you know him? Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. You know, so here is the situation here, and it took Paul time to identify this spirit. So like I said, I do not blame so many people who have been unable to discern. Very fake people. I've watched television at times and I see somebody preaching on holiness and the Lord said, this one is not genuine. How can somebody be talking holiness and be fake? Are you following what I'm saying here today? It's not genuine.
And I believe that God is about to give us discernment in a short time. And the last time the devil trapped you is the last forever. If you believe that, say a louder amen. Amen.
But in the case of what we have been dealing with, both the content and the consequence are wrong. In Paul's own time, what the lady was saying was 100% correct. In our own time, some little truth was mixed with massive error. Massive lies. Am I communicating? For example, it is a massive lie to say that somebody that was just surrounded by demons, all of a sudden Jesus stepped into that body and began to talk through the dead body of a dead person who was not saved before he died. If in case you want to get the details of all that we dealt with that last week, he said, I am the God of the living, a living God. It is absolute heresy for somebody to say that people that are still alive, he saw their souls in hell. That is, they have not yet died. He said, that is, their souls are already in hell. That is waiting for them to go there. Am I communicating now? It is an absolute heresy for somebody to say that God is not a God of the communion. The Jesus Christ that instituted is the Passover by himself, and the apostles continued daily throughout their lifetime. Somebody said, God said he is not such a God. Somebody said, God sent him to come and curse and antagonize elders and fathers in the Lord. Paul the apostle, when he was told about Ananias, the high priest, he said, I'm sorry, I didn't know he was the high priest. The Bible says you should not speak evil of the elder of your people. When did God give license to little children to talk against elders, both in the physical and in the spiritual? From when? It doesn't happen in the physical, will never happen in the spiritual. We dealt with that last week. God knows how to deal with his servants. Last week we saw in, I believe it was Romans 14:14, where he said, who are you to judge another man's servant? For his master is standeth or falleth, and God can make him to stand. Is God speaking to somebody here? So these are the things we are looking at. And massive heresy, massive fallacy. When God wants to deal with his servant, he sends to that servant of his another servant whose voice he cannot refuse. When David erred, he didn't look for somebody from the street. He sent the notable Nathan the prophet. Go and tell David you did this. When Paul the apostle was about to miss road, he sent to him the notable prophet Agabus. When the house of Eli was about to miss it, he sent to him the only prophet available who has been in training. His name was Samuel. Where would somebody come from the backyard and said that God sent you to the leaders of a nation? There is no scriptural precedence then or now. And when God talks to his servants like that, true people that they know, this is God talking to me. Am I communicating? When he talks to his servants like that, and they refuse to hear, he takes them out of the way. That's what he does. He did that for Eli. He took Eli and his sons on the same day out of the way. I've warned you, you said you didn't hear. He took Saul and his son Jonathan out of the way the same day. When you rebel, that is, he knows how to deal with his servants. He doesn't require the help of a man to handle his servants. You see, and so the content in our case has been totally perverse. But rebellious-minded people will be happy. It is true. Let's talk against them. Somebody say amen. Take your seat. And like I said last week, some of the things I'm saying now, I said them already last week, but I'm taking it for granted that there may be some people who would listen or watch this DVD and didn't watch the last one, and vice versa. So I am just recapping on some of them. And now, the content was not good. And then the consequences, terrible. I just read some to you now. What are the consequences of some of these revelations? I said them last week, but I run over it. Number one, introduction of confusion and division. Where people say, oh, if they say so and so person is not right, and this person is not right, and that person is not right. In fact, and some people are already in hell. Then what is the use following God? Introduction of confusion. Second consequence is the impartation of the spirit of rebellion. Speaking against spiritual authority, which seals the doom of the people. The third is the impartation of the spirit of bitterness against God. Am I communicating? So I told you last week of some people who published the book of how many men of God are about to go to hell and those who are already there. Am I communicating? There are people who said, oh, so somebody can serve God like this and God will be so wicked to send such a person to hell. It's a spirit of bitterness and rebellion against God. But it is returned back to the sender. Amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Amen. The number fourth consequence was the hardening of sinners. Sinners are hardened in sin. The number fifth consequence is the raising of a Pharisee's generation of hypocrites. Holier than thou attitude. We are going to heaven. Everybody else is going to hell. A bitter, judgmental, critical, hateful spirit that makes them to end eventually in hell. Jesus said in Matthew 23:27, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, because you appear to be outwardly righteous, but inside you are full of dead men's bones, full of wickedness. Are you ready for this? I'm about to say, I didn't mention this one last week, but I'm mentioning it now. Number six is the raising of false disciples. False disciples. You know what we mean by false disciples? People serving God out of the fear of hell instead of love for God. They don't love God, but they fear hell. What a disaster. Is there any sister here today? A man caught you and said, I want to marry you by force. And you say, I don't like you. He said, then you are a dead person. I must marry you. Anywhere you want, go. I must marry you, otherwise you are dead. And you eventually marry the person. How much love do you have for him? What an oppression forever. That is what we mean, false disciples. Many their attempt is being made to convert the people out of the fear of hell instead of the love of God. There are two different kinds of fears. There is one we call the oppressive fear and the reverential fear. Oppressive fear is the fear of destruction. If I don't serve God, he will destroy me. Reverential fear is the fear of respect and love. False disciples. Lift your right hand and say, I love God. Not just because there is hell, but because he is my God. And finally, number seven, the consequence of this negative revelations is the raising of a generation of people without personal conviction. I have so much to say today, but if I stop here, maybe. The raising of a generation of people that have no personal conviction about God, obeying God unwillingly. Hello? I will give you two examples. One small boy was always standing inside the car, looking at the windscreen, looking outside. The father said, sit down. He sat down, he will stand again. Sit down, he will stand again. Then finally the father shouted, sit down. Pushed him down. And he sat down. And he was boning. Then after a while, he told the father, he said, I'm sitting down physically, but in my heart, I'm standing up. What a rebel. What a rebel. There are many Christians like that. This guy is sitting down, but he's standing up in his heart. That is doing what you are doing without conviction. I remember in the university in those days, a sister, no, her tie, ear tied, earring gone, necklace, everything, nothing. As a very holy sister, no challenge. I saw her even before the school finished. Lipstick, everything, because she changed fellowship. I don't know if you are following me. She changed to another fellowship where they are not against it. The question is, why did she do it at first? Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, the reason of a generation of people that are not convinced, but they have to do it because it is the doctrine. A generation of people that are not convinced, but they have to do it so that they don't end in hell. That is the manufacture of hypocrisy. You don't understand what I'm talking to you about. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible said anything that does not come out of conviction is sin. Romans chapter 14 verse 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That is, physically you are not drinking beer, but in your heart you are drinking. As far as God is concerned, you are a drunkard. That's why he said, if you look at a woman lustfully in your heart, even though you haven't done anything, you have done it. Because your heart has done it. Let me explain conviction. Anybody following me at all? Can I explain conviction? For example, let me explain conviction. Pastor, if there is no hell, will you drink alcohol? Answer, no. Capital, no. The reason why I won't drink alcohol is not because of hell. The reason why I won't drink alcohol is that I carry a nature that alcohol cannot cross. See, I am so related, connected with my maker that the smell of alcohol will make me vomit. You can't even drink near me. I can't dare it because it will ruin my spiritual life in the first place. Brother, if there is no hell, will you steal? No. Will you tell lies, small lies? No. There is a nature inside you that makes lying impossible. If there is no hell, will you watch bad movie? No. Why? There is a nature that makes you rendered useless. You can't do any other thing. If you decided to inject such a poison inside you, the nature of God. Am I communicating? Ask many of our sisters, if there is no hell, will you wear lipstick? Oh, thank God. If there is no hell, I'm talking about the majority of us who have surrendered the physical things. If it is not for the sake of hell, will you do all the things that the unbelieving ladies are doing with their body? Ah, no hell. Ah, thank God then. So somebody can do it and it won't go to hell. That's good then. Why? No conviction. The thing has been removed from the face, but it's still on the spirit. The things have been removed from the body, but it's still hanging on the spirit. God is still seeing it. It is like bathing a pig outside and giving it 10 commandments. Be clean, you hear? That thing inside him that likes potter potter, except you don't open that door, he will run out, dive into the potter potter, and say, I don't know why they have been imprisoning me all this while. What kind of prison is this? Why? Because what makes it to do it is inside him, in their body. Is God speaking to somebody here? And I want us, the Lord sent me today to make us to understand what really matters. What really matters. So that you don't run your race in vain. And you are not at the mercy of this doctrine today. Okay, they say we shouldn't do this. That one today. Okay, is that what they said? Okay, this one tomorrow. Is that what they said? God wants you to come to a point where you yourself know what to do and what not to do. There are addresses that will not cross my body as a man. I stand before them. No way. Sometimes my wife says, oh, shouldn't sew that type of dress. I say, I'm not sure I can wear it. It's not written anywhere that it is a sin. But inside my body, there is a reaction. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Take your seat, people. Can I have a few more minutes? You know, there are some people that they only came to church for miracles. Many miracle seekers are occupants of hell in their numbers. They love miracles, but they don't like God. Everything said and done, pseudo disciples have adjusted physical appearance, but unchanged inner environment. Physical adjusted, inside unchanged. False disciples. False. No transformation, no conviction, no change. Just outside, adjusted. No personal work of the Holy Spirit. That is the tendency of some revelations. But the question is, the truth of God remains. Write down these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. God is of a purer eyes. He cannot behold iniquity. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 11. Be ye, he said, depart ye, depart ye. Be ye holy that bear the vessels of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Therefore, let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 8, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Am I communicating? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I want you to read the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6,
verse 16 to 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. Mashaka pakalaba. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You see, holiness, the standard remains unchangeable. But how do we achieve it? What does God want? Can I really go ahead? Is anybody following me at all? Let me see your hand. Without which, your faith can give you results, but you don't use faith to enter heaven. You don't say, by faith, I make heaven. That's a baseless confession. You see, your faith can make you have results on earth, but without holiness, no man can see God. The gate of the church is open to anyone who wants to come and change, but not the gate of heaven. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The question we want to ask is, how do I achieve this holiness? And what does God want? Seven things. Give God your heart. Give him your heart. The meaning of that is, absolutely and completely surrender your life to him. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Absolutely and completely surrender your heart to him. Here is what he said. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe your ways. Give God your heart. If heaven is where you want to go, allow Jesus to conquer your will. Let the Nazarene conquer your will. Let El Shaddai conquer your will. Follow him because of love, not because of fear. Make Jesus the greatest passion of your life. Make him the greatest passion of your life. Come to the point like David in Psalm 42, verse 1 to 2. Where your heart is panting after God. He said, as the heart panted after the water brooks. Psalm 42, 1 to 2. So my soul panted after you, O God. When shall I stand before the living God? Come to that point. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I heard from a servant of God one day, he said, even if there is no heaven, anywhere God is going, I will follow him. In case somebody say, are you not serving? Supposing we utter this word, no heaven and hell. In case I love him too much, I am not serving him for anything. Anywhere he goes, I follow him. You cannot be madly in love with Jesus and find your way in hell. Impossible. Now I will tell you more about this. Impossible. You don't love anybody like God. You don't love any activity under heaven like God. You don't love anything like God. There is nobody that commands your attention and your time like God. Then as Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 to 34 says, Jeremiah 31, 33 to 34, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel
I like you to hear. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then he said, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. That is, God is saying, when you come to a point of relationship with me, inside you is written what I hate and what I like. You come to a point of affection and relationship with God, where on the tables of your heart is written, consciously, unconsciously, you begin to love what he loves and hate what he hates. If he doesn't love it, you can't love it. If he hates it, you can't love it. You won't need anybody to tell you, how are you dressing like this? Why are you eating bread? Nobody will tell you. It's the bankruptcy of relationship with God. It is because we have come to a point where we have delegated the matters of relationship with God to other people. You don't do things because somebody said it. You do it because in your heart, you know you have been changed inside out. Is anybody still hearing me? Why is it that there are so many people outwardly unchanged? They have been in church for 20 years, but the way they were dressing before they got born again has not changed. It's because they are inwardly unchanged. When you give me a mango fruit, how do I know that that mango is ripe? I have not tasted it. How do I know? I saw the outside. How do I know ripe banana? I saw the outside. How do I know ripe orange? I saw the outside. In the same manner, any condition on the inside must reflect outside. It is not possible to be holy inside and be seductive outside. It is not possible to be pure on the inside and be defiled outside. It is not possible to be consecrated inside and be desecrated outside. The reason why our outside, somebody is saying, do I wear lipstick? Do I wear this? Do I wear that? What do I do? What will take people to heaven? What will take people to heaven? Is because the inside has not had an encounter. The inside of man, the relationship with God has not yet been there. And I pray in this season that God will take us. That is why I hate the preaching of commandment. Do this, don't do it. It doesn't change anybody. It doesn't change anybody. What I'm intending to do is to push you into God. To push you from the outer court into the holy of holies. To push you into the third dimensions with God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The question is, who has your heart? I know, my wife, know, everybody who knows me knows who has my heart. House, office, house. Even in the house, I can count the number of times I sat in the parlor to watch anything in 1 year. I can't count up to 10 times. I have a little work to do. You want to catch me? Look for where I'm praying. In the house. You'll find me there. Do you understand? But there are too many people. Many things conquer their heart. There are people, it is the god of fashion and vanity. They give their heart. I don't want to be confrontational. But I want to find out what makes a person sit down to do one hair for 3 days. One, two, three. And somebody is asking, will hairstyle take me to hell? It's not the hairstyle necessarily that is taking you to hell, but who controls your heart? 3 days. When was the last time you used 3 days to pray non-stop? When was the last time you used 3 days to fast non-stop? When was the last time you used 3 days to work for God? And you are asking, will God judge me for this? Somebody is sitting before a home movie. Finish one that lasted 3 hours. Another one starts for another three hours. He has done 6 hours. Maybe before you notice it, 9 hours has passed. Question, when was the last time you prayed in tongues for 9 hours? When was the last time you were studying the Bible for 9 hours? And God is watching and heaven is recording. So that when you appear in eternity, the question is, where was your heart? Who was your God? I was talking about the hair that people attach. And one lady told me that there are attachments that cost 350,000. 350,000 naira to attach. And he told me it takes like under 150,000 to plate. Put all of them together, that's almost 500,000, half a million for one hair. Know these little cars that some of these our guys park on the road here? One, that hairstyle can buy the car. It's carrying car on the head. Look at where the challenge lies. When was the last time you carried 500,000 and put it in one offering? Not tight. What is the regularity of your giving of such amount? And people are asking, will this take me to hell? Will that take me to hell? What is the regularity of such giving to God? Many years ago, they brought me a shoe. That shoe was like 7,000 naira. At that time, I had not given 7,000 in one offering before. So I said, I haven't given this kind of money to God. Will I use it to buy a shoe? I humorously said, does the shoe have tires so that I don't need to walk again? Because at that time, that amount looked so high. But within the same week or two, I bought Christian materials to feed my soul worth 50,000. I couldn't use it to buy a shoe, but I 7,000 for me now cannot be an offering now. It can't be one offering now. If there are 20 services in a day, I can't give 7,000 per service. Not because of, not for necessity of, not for abundance purpose, but for the sake of where your heart lies. Is God speaking to anybody here today? There is a call for a readjustment. There is a call for a readjustment and a redefinition of where, who is actually in control. There are people, they gold on their body. Here. If they count the carats and measure the amount, you can buy a car. Can buy more. No challenge. How is your sacrifice towards God? Those that are suffering near you, how much are they benefiting from your life? The poor widows and orphans around you, how much money do you give them that you are able to lavish such on yourself? No challenge if you are able to flow like that. This is where the matter lies. This is where the judgment at the end will be heavy. Our young people today, the phone has become their God. BlackBerry. This berry, white berry, brown berry, every second. Terrible materials inside. Huh? A young girl carries the phone of a friend and bam, the next thing she saw was pornography. People under 12, 13, inside phone. And these things taking people to hell. God said, you don't have time for me, your maker. And these things have become your God. This is where the problem lies. 4 or 5 more points to go. So, what is the pathway of holiness? The first is ensure that God conquers your heart.
Let him be absolutely in charge.
And now there are people who have surrendered everything outside. The opposite is true. Who have zero prayer life. Are you following me? Zero study of the Bible. Zero. They have not evangelized to anybody. They are stingy with their pocket in giving to God. But everything is okay. Everything is outward, perfect. But spiritual relationship, zero. Ordinary devil can't cast out. Still running from pillar to post. What? That is plus one minus one equals what? Zero.
What is God looking for? He wants to change us from the inside out. And number two, the pathway of holiness. Number two, make God your life's priority. Life's priority. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Acts chapter 17 verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die. If it is not Christ, no need to live. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If it is not Christ, no need to be alive. For me to live is not pastoring. For me to live is not medical practice. For me to live is not the pursuit of money. For me to live is Christ, and to die gain.
Why are you alive? What is the reason for your dressing? We have many who are so self-centered, self-ruled, living as if they don't belong to God. Many are purely living for themselves. They are not representing God in any way. They are not instruments of anybody's salvation. They don't care for God and they don't care for anybody. So they dress as they like. They behave as they like. They act as they like. Hear this. One sister from our church here, she after passing through maturity class, she was going to Lagos. And I think she was taught in the maturity class to preach the gospel there. And she stood up inside the bus. And she wanted to preach. She was wearing trousers. I think it's jeans. Or I don't know what she was wearing. And she wanted to preach to people to be saved. And all of a sudden she looked at herself. And then the voice convicted her from inside. Who do you want to preach to? Who is going to listen to you? See the way you are looking. Now she sat down in that vehicle, miserable, until she reached her destination. With the vow, never to appear in a way that does not represent God. Am I communicating?
I told you this one before. My wife and I were at Sheraton. And after we finished preaching to a prostitute, if you looked at her, it was horrible. Everything was out. Everything, it was as if somebody was naked and then moving, but just had some things like rubber band around the body. You understand what I'm saying? When we finished preaching to her, I will never forget what that girl did for us that day. She packed her things and marched straight through Sheraton Gate on her way home. When we got home, we called her, "Where are you now?" She said, "I'm back home." "What happened?" He said, "No, you told me I cannot go back there again. Will you come to church?" "No, sir." "Why?" "I don't have church dress." "The kind of dress you saw me with is the only kind of dress I have. I can't wear that to church." Why does a prostitute know that there is a dress that you cannot wear? And some people in church pretend that you can wear anything. To hear me carefully, because I am aware that I am accountable to God for the number of people that come in contact with me. And like Paul the Apostle,
apostle, I will be guiltless of the blood of all men at the end of my journey. Hear this. If you call 100 men here in this church, you say, stand up now, and they will come out. Literally 100% of them, you won't see any of their body parts out except their neck up. You can find that out. You won't see it. If you call 100 women out at random, this one, the chest is out. The other day I saw at one, it was raining. The rain that started before we woke up. And this person was walking in the morning, sleeveless, a lady. The demon of seduction couldn't tell her it is cold. Right? It is raining. The hand is out. Body is tight. It's moving. Rain is falling. What a yeshious life. What an oppressive life. Don't look for anybody to tell you if you do this, you'll go to it. Don't look. Just sit down with God. What is your priority in life? What do you want? What are you looking for? You call 100 men here, and you will not find even one that you can say, I don't like this dress. All of our dresses has allowance. See, I'm wearing one inside. I'm wearing this, wearing one inside, wearing this outside, wearing this on top. With a tie, with everything. The trousers have allowance. Are you following what I'm saying here? What is the feminine generation looking for? What do we want to do to the world? Fashion designed from satanic agents in Hollywood. Satanists who manufacture satanic fashion from hell in order to usher people into eternity in hell is being manufactured, and people are wearing up and down. The cleavage of the chest is out. Are you about to breastfeed somebody? Hey! Even in the village, women, I'm about to say some things here. Even in the village, women that are breastfeeding babies, when a man is coming, they cover themselves. They cover it very well. Just the nipple. In the village, women don't sit like this. No. You know, they used to sit on bicycle in the village. They don't sit on bicycle like this. They sit with their leg crossed to the other side. If you have ever been there, that is the decency of the African culture. Christianity does not destroy positive culture. It builds, emphasizes, solidifies, strengthens. Chest is out. Belly, the dress is hugging. It's rubber. Everything is there. The back is showing. Everything. Hand is out. Everything is out. What are we looking for? Do you understand? See, I want to say at this moment that one of the greatest challenges of our generation is that our priorities are perverted. And we have decided to become a god to ourselves. I will go to point number three. Take your seat. Are you on that path of holiness and trusting God to make heaven at the end of your journey? Make God your life's priority number four. Before I go on that, I forgot the scripture, Proverbs chapter 7 verse 10, where he said, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. So there is a dress that belongs only to harlots. There are seductive dressings. What is the dress that belongs to harlot? What is seductive? Any dress that is marketing the body. Any dress that is marketing the sensitive parts, whether it is the back, it is marketing, or the chest. Some people are well covered, but what of the pressure on the chest? What of the pressure at the back? You know, these things will not be laughing matters after death. You can't take anybody to hell and go to heaven. the people who look at you and lusted because of your negative appearance, you follow them to hell. Whether you are a married woman or a single woman. Because in our generation, there is no difference anymore. There are some married women that are badder in appearance than young girls. Number three, check your motives. And I want to say at this moment, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 3. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. What? And by him, actions are weighed. What is the problem of God? It's not necessarily what did you do. It's a problem too in some cases. But in all cases, why did you do it? Why? With God, actions are weighed. So the judgment of the motive is the worst judgment in eternity. Why did you do it? And if the explanation is not clear, the answer is depart from me, you workers of iniquity. After going through church all these years, then you ended in the same hell with Lucifer and all murderers of creation. It's not worth it. Why are you dressed the way you are dressing? To impress people? To be like the world? Or to cover your nakedness? Is it only nakedness you are trying to cover, or you are trying to actually advertise the nakedness? Why? To seduce the innocent? When motives are wrong, actions can never be right. And as I speak right now, I like you. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7, the Bible said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward, but the Lord looketh on the heart. On the heart. Can I draw some dagger here? I am on the subject of motive. Please, I don't want anybody to say that you came to talk to me embarrassingly. But if I did and your soul is saved, I am all right. As you change your color from black to yellow, why? Why? It will be a question that you will answer. You have to answer it now. Why? Because it is possible you are saying to God, you are partial. You like the fair people more than me. You should have made me an Oyibo person. Why? Jehovah will ask it. With God, actions are way. I am one day somebody was describing somebody that I know. We grew up together. That person used to be darker than myself. And I am not a light complexion person, as it were. Now imagine a lady darker than myself who is now yellow. So somebody was describing that person to me and said, don't you know this light complexion so and so? And he was talking and talking and talking. Then he mentioned the name. I said, okay. Then I laughed. Because he is seeing the person now. I saw the person before. And you cannot tell me that fair person. I won't agree. Because I knew the person before. Now, in eternity, Jehovah is looking for who he created. God made man in his image. Man is making himself in his own likeness. Don't let anybody say, will extra eyelashes take me to hell? The question is, why? That the one you were giving was not enough? God is not wise enough to make it longer? Don't say that I paint the color of my face. Here is red. Here is green. Here is why. The question is, God say, you are my temple. And he's saying, did I not paint the building well? You wanted to do it another style? You are not the owner of that body, he's the owner. You are a caretaker. Can the caretaker determine the design of the structure? I am not preaching legalism. The Bible says, let us reason together. Look at your neighbor, say, we are reasoning. I preached one time and I said, anything you cannot defend before God, don't do it on it. Because you will be asked, can you defend it? Now, the Lord did not make you too tall, and God likes variety. He made many animals. In fact, if you go to the species of fishes, you will be amazed. We went to an aquarium somewhere with my wife and children. The kind of fishes, as if there are 1,000 different types of fishes. You see, some are blue here, yellow there, red here. Is this a fish? I had never seen it before. That is how Jehovah is. He made some of us, our eyes are slanted like the Chinese. Some it is straight. Others are brief, where he can say, lo, I am with you. Others are big, say you can be fat and flourishing. He made us in different sizes. Then somebody that God wants to enjoy the height, the way because he made you like that, you went and put something that want to break your leg. To appear tall. Don't say that. Will it take anybody help? The question is, why? Moderation is the law of wisdom. Modest apparel. Modest. Huh? Everything that is exaggerated is an abomination. Anything exaggerated is an abomination. The Bible talks about modest apparel. That your physical appearance is not taking people's attention from the content of your spirit. I will talk about this another day because I can't finish this today. Look at your neighbor, say, I am not questioning what you are doing. The only question is, why? Let us be able to ask the question. Let us be able to ask the question. I saw my wife the other day, and she dresses perfectly all the time. But I saw her with this suit that has the collar yesterday, and then the one with the turtleneck, like the bishop's neck. I say, I like this type very well. Yeah, and this one too, I like it. Everything is covered. And I said, for my likeness of it, I would like to show me how I can buy more. Can just achieve more of that. It looks more majestic. It looks more dignified. It's more regal. It's more royal. The other type makes a person like a garage girl, a motopark girl, a roadside hawker, a street call girl. Call me up. There are ways you appear. Nobody can approach you for evil. I wrote in one of our books, I said that there are some people who are saying their boss is troubling them in the office, and they are the ones troubling their boss. Take your seat. My boss is troubling me in the office. They are the ones troubling the boss. They are troubling the boss. By the time you do like this twice in front of your boss, you say, come. begins to, if you don't, I want you to see me. Say, no, sir, I'm a believer. Say, which believer? Which believer? I need to see you. Are you ready for your promotion at all? They are the ones, the boss was innocent, happy with his wife, until this new worker brought him under pressure. And Jehovah is watching. Take your seat. Now, if all these things are put in place, nobody will say, what is it that will take me to hell? Next time you stand before your mirror, ask yourself, why? Just answer the questions. Somebody told me that in England, one of our brethren from Nigeria here, or from somewhere, did this, our natural plaiting of the hair. Eh? This natural mat, isn't it? And all the white people were watching, admiring. Hey, touch it. Eh? This is beautiful. Their hair cannot achieve it. In most cases, they are wondering, this is beautiful. They are admiring the beauty of naturality. While our people are trooping through vanity to hell at the frequency of artificiality. The vanities of artificials. At a frequency. They are looking at us admirably. That is how God wants it to be. We are unique. They are unique. We are not to struggle to be like them. We can't dress like them. For somebody wearing trousers in America as a lady is a normal thing there. For donkey ears, what of here? It's like going to the Middle East to try to evangelize. Eh? Or going to India. The gospel respects cultures on ground. Except we do not have it. We do not have the kingdom at heart. Then we do as we want. Beloved, there is power in being natural. Let's go on. Number four. Do not sleep with guilt. Refuse to sleep with guilt. Never allow yourself to sleep with unconfessed sins on the journey of holiness and purity. Make your way right with God now and never look back. Have a daily conscious walk with God. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, I didn't drink alcohol, I didn't steal, I didn't commit adultery. But they say, if you say you have not sinned, you are a liar. Do you know the meaning of that? You told somebody that you are coming, you didn't come. There are too many things that we take for granted. You see, now, so on a continuous basis, Lord, cleanse me from anything that is likely to take me to hell. You took somebody's thing, you say you want to return it, you didn't return it. God will help us. God will help us. Say a louder amen. Amen. John chapter 8 verse 10 to 11. Jesus lifted and saw the woman caught in adultery. He said, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned thee? And the woman said, no man, Lord. And she said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Ephesians 4:28. Let him. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more.
So,
never sleep with a conscience that is guilty. Number five, make your ways right with man.
Always make your ways right with who?
With man.
Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. James chapter 5, verse 16. He said, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what?
Confess your faults one to another. In other words, there are you have made your way right with God, but there are human beings you need to make your way right with. Am I communicating? You need to make your way right with. There are some people whose forgiveness you need to receive. And there are people you have to release in forgiveness. There are things that are not yours. Where possible and necessary, you need to return. Hello? You need to.
You make your ways right with God and make your ways right
with man.
Number six,
live with eternity in view.
Live with eternity in view, because we are not here to stay. We came to pass. Don't forget yourself in this world. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
The thought of heaven has a purifying effect. The thought of eternity has a cleansing power.
He that has this hope in himself purifieth himself. As we think about eternity, as we think about life in the afterlife, it keeps us pure.
Live with eternity in view. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. Hebrews 9, 27 to 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Who is he going to appear to? Those looking for. So there are people in church who are not looking for him. When the rapture happens, they will never go. And to those who look for him, he shall appear. Look at your neighbor. Say, when last did you long for your heavenly home? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm not saying longing to die, not necessarily. But longing for eternity, how to be with God, the details of glory.
To those who look for,
so eternity consciousness carries purifying power.
Number seven, be yielded to the Holy Spirit. It's a pathway of holiness. Be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are the sons of God.
That is a proof of sonship, is the leading of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. Somebody say, Holy Spirit. Say it louder. Holy Spirit, show me whatever is not of God in my life. Show me the things I need to do to make me worthy of eternal life.
Make me to see the things in my life that does not make me look like God.
Spirit of God, do not abandon me. Check me. Keep searching me. John chapter 16, verse 7 to 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of what? Sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Do you understand? Lift your right hand, pray this prayer, and don't forget to pray it till the rest of your days, until you see Jesus Christ face to face. Don't forget this prayer. Lift your right hand, say, Father, anything that will make me end in hell, please, Lord, reveal it to me while I am alive. One sister here testified 2 weeks ago. She saw in the dream, God was using my face to talk to her. This kind of dressing is not of God. She woke up in the morning and changed. She said, I have only 5 normal dresses, but I'm all right. Am I communicating? If you mean business with God, you can't go to hell. Anything that will take me to hell, show it to me while I'm alive.
A man from the other religion was brought to me in my office the other day. And you know what he said to me? He said, Pastor, it's not that I am against Christianity. And it's not that it is compulsory for me to be where I am. He said, the only thing is that I want to know the truth. Which one is the right way? He said, Pastor, eternity is a long time. I don't want to follow the wrong path and end in the wrong place. When I looked at the sincerity in his eyes, I said, God will help you. There is nobody that is desperate like you that can miss it. Am I communicating at all? Be yielded to the Holy Spirit and let him own your life. Hear me. If you are truly yielded to the Holy Spirit, you stand once in a while before the mirror and the Holy Ghost say, go and change that dress. You are not looking like a Christian. You are not a child of God like this. Drop that thing. It's not your money. Stop that call. You can't make it. Off that television. You can't watch this. When you are really serious with God and the Holy Spirit in leading, you can't miss it. Finally, are you ready? This is not the least. Oh. This is, I think, maybe one of the most important things I might say today after the number one. Understand God's dealing. God's peculiar dealings with your life. Understand God's peculiar dealings with your life. Let me rephrase it like this. Understand your personal consecrations with God. Never struggle to be like others, because you don't know what God is doing and saying to others. Am I communicating? God deals with us in ways that are different, one person from another. Hear this. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. Listen. God looked at Moses and he said, draw not near here. Pull off your shoes. Pull your shoes. Pull your what? Read it. Your what? Your what? Pull your what? Thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. That was very unique. Moses did not say, but I read the history. Abraham didn't pull his shoe. Why should God ask me to pull my shoe? But I know that Jacob slept at Bethel. He didn't pull his shoe. Why should God ask me to pull my shoe? Isaac, Joseph. But this was peculiar to Moses. For reasons best known to me, Moses, in your relationship with me at this point, pull this shoe. For you are standing on holy ground. And Moses pulled it. There may be people here today. You say, but I see other people dressed like this. Why should God ask me not to? Never do what you are not comfortable with, no matter how many are doing it. Never do anything you have no conviction about. It doesn't matter how many people are convinced. There may be people, God will tell you, the things that others You are not comfortable even with wearing nothing.
You can't look at, okay, but look at this sister is very spiritual and yet she's dressed like that. It doesn't matter. To follow the multitude is to end where the multitude end.
Understand your personal consecration and dealings with God.
He told Moses to off his word, Exodus 3:5. Your shoes. Now, look at the instruction to Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, verse 15. Joshua 5, 15.
And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua,
what did he say? Loose thy what? Shoe, single. Thy shoe from up thy foot, single. For the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Moses, pull your two shoes. Joshua, pull one. Joshua did not say, but my master, it was two shoes he pulled. Why is my own instruction different? Look at your neighbor, say, personal consecration. I have no time to go into detail now. But when Samson's mother was pregnant, write it down. When Samson's mother was pregnant, Judges chapter 13, verse 14. Samson's mother was told not to drink the fruit. She will not eat anything that cometh of the vine. She will not drink wine or strong drink or anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Hello? Anybody still following me? Samson was about to be born. And God said, for the peculiarity of this child, don't drink anything that is fermentable. Don't even drink anything from the vine. It's as good as saying, don't drink orange. Hello? But Samson's mother did not say, what of Sarah? When she was going to give birth to Isaac, did she have such an instruction? What of Moses' mother? She was to follow because it was personally required of her. Hello. Lift your right hand and say, Lord, don't let me miss what you are personally requiring of me. And this is a caution. This is where I will end. Never make a personal dealing to become a general doctrine. What is personal to you must never be generalized. Moses cannot say, anybody who wants to encounter God, pull your shoes. That is the new revelation I have. Off your shoes, everybody. He can't say that.
Samson's mother cannot say, any woman that really wants to be used of God, don't drink orange.
She cannot say that. Many people made personal dealings to become general doctrines. And there is a lot of confusion. That is why you will never struggle to be like anybody. Struggle to be who God wants you to be. Never say, but this person is doing this. No. What does God want me to do? Check your conscience. And that is why the ultimate is go deep into God. Have a deep working relationship with God. Be absolutely willing to obey him. Ask him questions of things you do not know. And live ready for eternity. Stand up on your feet. Take your seat. Yes. I know many of us are overfed today. I could have divided the message into two, but I felt the download must come. Hallelujah. Did you hear anything today? Go through the note one by one. On the pathway to holiness, number one, what is it? Give him what? Your heart. Number two, make God your life's priority. Number three, check your motives. Number four,
Do not sleep with guilt. Number 5, make your ways right with man. Number 6, live with eternity in view. Number 7, remain yielded to the Holy Spirit. And number 8, understand God's dealings with your life. Stand up on your feet. Stand on your feet, lift up your two hands. And begin to thank him for what you have received. Thank him for what you have received. The most important thing that can happen to anybody is to have a meaningful, tangible relationship with Jesus. You have watched the things you watched, you've heard the message, but you are not sure that your relationship with God is correct. You want me to pray with you to enter a new relationship with Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need your help in my life. Come into my life today and make me a new person. From today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus, and no turning back. From today, I go forward ever and backward never. Thank you, Lord, for helping me in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you meant the prayer you prayed. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a phone call, send us text messages, or email us on the addresses on the screen, and your life can never be the same. In Jesus' name.